Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Through kingdom builders, that you're making a difference in their life. And you, through your giving, you're changing the world. And Walker and Haley Schurz are with us this morning. They pastor in Lusaka, Zambia. Would you guys stand and just give them a welcome? Just great friends. They have been in Africa, devoted their life to that wonderful continent for 26 years, the last 16, pastoring a church that, and you're going to see the story. It's literally touching the continent. And it's an amazing thing. And you get to be a part of it as a kingdom builder. But I want you to actually embrace what God is doing around the world. How many of you know Jesus wants to do more outside of the walls of a church than in a building? Would you agree with that? Amen. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. And so this precious couple have come, and I've asked Walker to share with you today. And I know you're going to, I was here last night, so you're going to like this. But more than anything, I pray that you see the purpose of your life beyond your own life. That what happens when we come together as God's people. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray as Walker comes, and let's just open our hearts to God's word in his life today. And I just do want to let you know, these combined height are the tallest missionaries that ever lived on the planet. They raised up, I'll show you what it means. Y'all look up here, see. Don't I look like a child here? And so we had it at my height last night for Walker, and you could just see him kind of like trying to find his notes. But this precious couple is just, you're about to be blessed. Let's pray, open our hearts to what God has in their life. Father, thank you for Walker and Haley. Thank you for Miracle Life Church. Thank you for the Bible School. Thank you for the people that have been raised up. Thank you for the people that have gone to the nations of Africa. Thank you for what you will do and what you're going to do. It's just an amazing thing that we have gotten to be a small part of what you've done through this precious couple and the wonderful people of Zambia that serve in that amazing ministry. We now open our hearts to your presence and to your power and to the grace that you've put upon their lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Give them a hand, would you? Big old hand. Love you, my friend.
Good morning. It is so wonderful to be with you. My wife, Haley, and I just consider it truly, truly an honor and a privilege to be at Victory. On our way here, we passed the old movie theater where you used to meet years and years ago. And it's just amazing what God has done through this church to touch a city, a region, and all around the world. And we're thrilled to be a part of your Kingdom Builders initiative. We understand that's coming, wrapping up in November for this year. And so God is still touching hearts and dealing with you as far as your participation, what you're going to be doing. And so we want to share with you what Kingdom Builders and what Victory has been doing in Zambia for many, many years. Because, as your pastor said, a church meets in a place, but its mission is the world. And you have a mission in the next couple of weeks to invite people to at the movies. And it's an amazing thing because, you know, if Victory was doing a series on the essence of the anointing, that might be a hard series to invite your friends to, right? Because we don't use that word all the time. But it's something that they can connect with because they've seen these movies and they can understand. And I heard a ridiculous statistic that 80 to 90% of people in America that don't go to church will go to church if someone invites them to. They'll at least come with you. So I understand it's probably more... It's less scary to give in an offering than it is to talk to a coworker or a neighbor or somebody you play sports with. But go ahead and do that. Just cross that fear and watch what God will do in their life. Isn't that awesome? So we're so thrilled that you're going to be able to do that. Turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we want to give context to our story and what Victory has helped accomplish in Zambia by these words of Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." So he is now getting to the end of his three-year ministry. And he had been warning and telling his disciples, but he's telling them again, I'm now in the most important phase of my life and ministry. He's going to go to the cross. Verse 24, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. Everyone say alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Now, he was speaking about his own life, that he was going to die, and because of his death, there would be a multiplication. There would be reproduction in the lives of other people. But notice that phrase, a plentiful harvest of new lives. And so, as a kingdom builder, what's in it for you? What's the result? What's the payoff? Well, I truly believe biblically that when we give our life away, whether that's our time, our money, or our career, whatever God's asking of us, and when we do it well, and victory is an incredible place to do it, the result is a plentiful harvest of new lives. People who their lives will be changed because of our obedience. So Jesus is this role model of obedience, but then we follow in his footsteps. And then he tells the disciples that this is going to be a model to you. Verse 25, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Everybody say eternity. Oh, there's so much in the Word of God about this life and the next life. And what we do in this life sets people up for the next one. Verse 26. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. So Jesus likened his life and our life to a kernel of wheat. And within that kernel, it's already designed to reproduce. It has within itself the DNA that it can create a huge harvest, but only in the right conditions. And that kernel, if it's in your hand or if it's on your coffee table, it remains alone and it stays alone. It doesn't reproduce. It's supposed to reproduce. And so Jesus said, when I give my life away, when you give your life away in obedience to him, the result is other lives change. And so years and years ago when we were in Well, my wife was in elementary school when she was 8 years old in a tiny town of 900 people in Texas. I was backslidden at the time. I don't know. I don't think I was backslidden. I don't think I had ever really front slidden yet. But I didn't know the Lord, wasn't walking with the Lord, and God had put in her heart for missions. And when I was born again at 16, same thing happened. He brought us together. And then he asked us for our life to be a kernel of wheat, to give it away. In fact, we met your pastors in 1993 when we were thinking about, does God want us to go to South Africa and Zambia? And the answer was yes. And so obviously they left a really, really good impression on us. And I know Michelle mentioned last night to make sure when we were with Pastor John, and there were some unruly people trying to, you know, speak ugly to his wife, he got a stick and he was after these guys. So aren't you glad you have a pastor who can sort out people? It's amazing. So God made it very, very clear, Walker and Haley, your life, the kernel of your life, is to be planted. And I look back at what I could have done had I held on to my life, had Haley held on to her life, and I'm sure we would have been relatively happy, but we would have remained alone. Our life would not have reproduced. And so when we went to Africa, and for the first 10 years serving in South Africa, Victory helped us get there. And so as missionaries, the Bible is really clear. They must be sent, and this church sends. And so it was an incredible thing. We counted up over the last few decades of what Victory has done just for our ministry. It's right around $200,000. $200,000. How many of you could buy some really... Yes, give yourselves a hand. And that was to help us get to the mission field. It was to do our church that was later built. Victory had a wonderful seed in that as well. And so today, as we want to just share a few highlights of what our kernel has done or what God has done with it, realize that as kingdom builders, this is you. Paul spoke to people who participated in his ministry, and he said this. He said, I want it to be credited to your account. And so 16 years ago, we moved to Zambia. The church just exploded. It was about 800 people. We were doing 4 services. We had no land, no money, yet there was faith in our heart and wonderful coaches of your pastors that helped us. And so, God, this is our church today that sits on 20 acres of land that God provided. We were in court for years just getting the title deed, and then there was just so many adventures. But on a Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, I'm not sure what happened. We've already finished church in Zambia a few hours ago. But we had 3,967 people that came to church on a Sunday morning in 2 services. And so God has taken that seed and multiplied it. So Miracle Life, when we open the door, people come and they just keep coming. And I'm glad we put the word family in the church because families come. And this family, I remember when they were single, they're now he's a top investor guy in London. And God's used, especially my wife, to pour into their hearts, the Mwilas, and other families that come and bring their kids. And probably our children's ministry is maybe the only reason we have church growth, is that 900 kids come every Sunday. I mean, that's a lot of kids. And that's a lot of work. And so kids come and they just refuse to leave. They'll tell their parents, we're not going back to your blank church. I don't want to use the word, you know, because you might be from that church, but we're not going back to your church. And they find Jesus and they find meaning from what the Bible says about their life, and they bring their friends, and it's just an incredible thing. We have 700 people at our church that serve on a Sunday morning. So whether that's in children's ministry or the parking lot or worship, and wonderful people that lay down their lives to make a difference for others. And at our church, people come from all walks of life. Right across the street from our church is a very low-income area of town with 90,000 people. And so there are great churches there. Some of them come, and then people come from different walks of life. In our church, there are 40 different nations that are represented. Because we live in a capital city, and Zambia is kind of right in the middle of an entire region. 90% are from Zambia, 5% from other places in Africa, and then 5% kind of the rest of us that came from America and a few other places. But in the Bible, in Revelation 5, it says, John saw heaven, the future heaven. And he said, I saw at the throne of God that there at God's throne, people were worshiping from every tribe, every nation, and every tongue. Means it's supposed to be that way. In fact, it will be that way. You know the great thing about the book of Revelation? When you read the end of the book, we win. God's purposes are accomplished. And so we know how this is going to result. And so what we say Miracle Life is just simply a church that looks like heaven now. And people get along most of the time. They get along. And we have 120 cell groups, we call them connection groups, that meet all over the city. And so people come together and they fellowship, they study the Bible together. And this year they began to do lots of outreaches. And so the church helps fund, they fund themselves, and they go into hospitals and prisons, sharing the love of Jesus outside of the walls. And honestly, once they got started, we just can't stop them. It's just amazing the impact that it's happening on their lives. For whatever reason, and we can't really explain it, but Miracle Life has attracted lots of Christian lawyers. And I know there's a joke in there that those two words can actually be in the same phrase, but how many of you know when you read the Bible, God is a God of justice. In fact, the Bible says he loves justice. So if we're going to do justice, we might as well do it God's way with God's people. And so this is Eddie Mwitwa. He's one of our ushers, just a humble, wonderful guy. I had the privilege of conducting his wedding ceremony years ago when he got married. He was kind of just out of law school. Well, he's got his own law firm, and he's the president of the Law Association of Zambia, one of the kind of the top organizations in the nation. And 5 of their 12-member committee of the Law Association all are members at Miracle Life. And when they were inducted, they said, Pastor, would you come? Would you pray for us? I'm bringing him some Christian lawyer books back. Actually, there are certain books for Christian lawyers. They're awesome. And so that they can study and do their part well. My wife is a mentor to certain ladies in the church. Four of our members are judges in either the high court or the appellate court of the nation. And so huge, huge cases come before them, and they think those things through with a biblical worldview. And the Holy Spirit empowers and impacts them. Haley will be with one of them here in the States at a conference just in a few days from now. I never, ever tried to make this happen. Zambia has had six different presidents. The first one is still alive. He's 95 years old. I've had the opportunity to preach sermons where all of six presidents have heard the word of God at different times, not all at the same time, but whether it's a funeral or a wedding or different things like that, without ever even trying. That just the favor of God on our church to impact people who are impacting the nation is incredibly remarkable. As we mentioned, the 900 kids, here's just a few hundred of them that you can see here, the 3 to 5 year olds. When we do baby dedications at church, it's like the entire front of the building and it goes down the aisle. I think when we do premarital, I think we skip the whole family planning thing. Whatever they're doing, it's not working, okay? And they just come, and it's just amazing to see what God does in their lives. Also, we have Vacation Bible School. That is, somebody had the idea, hey, let's do Vacation Bible School. We said, sure. And so we've done it for 16 years running, and we have to cap it at 830 kids. And so they come, and hundreds of kids give their lives to the Lord. And what's happening at Vacation Bible School is other churches also come and send their people to learn how to do it. And so now at the Anglican Church, at the Assembly of God Church, at the Presbyterian Church, they're all doing Vacation Bible School because they saw it at Miracle Life. And so it's just an anointing that God has on our church to inspire, equip, and help other churches to come up higher and to do things well. In our youth group, we've got 300-400 in youth and young adults every Sunday afternoon. And the stories of transformation. In Zambia, there is such family brokenness and the levels of hurt and abuse and divorce. And many, obviously, many times it's the kids who suffer that. I came from a broken home. And so in our youth group and with our youth leaders, they just pour out their hearts and their lives to find the healing power of Jesus Christ to transform their life. That things, and what we have in our heart for the nation is that things will stop generationally as a result of Miracle Life Family Church, and things will be transformed for the future. We do 2 youth camps every year. There's only one place that we can go, and we've outgrown it, and that's half of our youth. That's the senior high youth, and then we have the junior high youth. And actually, Victory Kingdom Builders had a part with that. Larry Betancourt, that was on staff here for many, many years, he actually helped launch our youth camps. If there's a guy in the world that can do youth camps, it's got to be Pastor Larry Betancourt. Amazing. And so he didn't come last year, but our folks have learned from him, and we're carrying that on. And so thank you, Victory, for the impact you're having across the world, people that you will most likely never meet, and yet we'll be in heaven because of you. Isn't that incredible that can happen? So one of the things as far as generationally was a series that my wife and I did in the church, and we thought it might be just a few weeks, but it was a 7-week series that we preached together on parenting. And as we interacted, and we love being pastors, because as pastors, being a shepherd, you get to see people eye to eye. You know what's going on in their lives. And again, to hear kind of what people don't know about raising kids. And so for 7 weeks, we just looked at the Word of God. And how do you do that from a biblical way to raise children to be Jesus-loving adults? And what's our role and what's our part to do that? And that series, I think it's outsold every series, like something like 20 to 1. It's just ridiculous, the amount of people who are being impacted by the Word of God. As we mentioned, churches send their folks. We do a children's worker training every year. And this year, 70 different churches came from all over the nation. One came from South Africa. My wife's doing the same thing with her ladies' conference called Living Free. And so this year, 1,300 ladies came. And one of the things that God showed us culturally in Zambia, the gender equality is, it's just not a thing, and roles in the home. And so the men and leaders in the church, we serve the ladies at the ladies' conference. So the fact that we're handing them, you know, an orange Fanta and a sandwich is incredibly impactful, that actually men can serve their wives. You know, kind of like the Bible says, right? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. He laid down his life for us. So incredibly wonderful, wonderful things. This year, we've done 27 pastors' conferences over the last 20 years in Zambia. And this year, we've started something called Equip. You may know, this is our pastor, Pastor Tony Cook, who I believe is part of Kingdom Builders at Victory as well. So you helped him get there. I can promise you, we didn't pay for his plane ticket. So thank you for paying for his plane ticket to get there. This is the Rhema director in Nigeria, Reverend Tokes. Part of our responsibility also is to, we'll talk about the Bible school that we're a part of as well. Rhema Zambia started in 2012, and it's a two-year Bible school where we go through 48 classes, and it helps prepare people for their next step in life, their next step in ministry. And the church in Zambia in 100 years has exploded. It's amazing. I can't tell you how simple it is for people to come to the Lord. In 16 years, every single Sunday morning for 16 years, people have given their heart to Jesus at our church, sometimes without trying. I mean, you could preach a sermon on the Steelers and people would get saved. All right. I know there's a joke in there, but I will absolutely refrain from that joke. Okay. So we've had 7 graduating classes, over 400 graduates. Right now we've got 250 students that are there. And it's a wonderful thing that God has used to raise up ministers. In fact, your pastors told us years ago, you're going to have to start a Bible school just for your own staff, just to equip your own people. And so this Sunday, they're doing all the preaching, doing everything that they'll do for the next few weeks. Next slide is one of our pastors, Pastor Kondwani. His wife is our children's minister, incredible, incredible communicator. When he started doing our cell groups, he tripled it in 2 years. Incredible leader, incredible insight. This is Pastor Sombo, one of the 3 best women preachers like in the world. I promise you, Joyce Meyer would go to her preaching conference to learn how to talk better. All right, she's so wonderful and just a youth magnet. And then the Pastor Benjamin this morning, he preached this morning. That's not his normal suit. All right, he was preaching on Ephesians 2:10 that we're created for good works. And so as a Christian, we are ready to work, ready to share. And so we are so, so thankful. These 2 other ladies are part of our children's ministry. That, just a hint, that's not their natural hair. Okay. I've learned a lot about hair and ladies' hair in the last 20 years. But Natasha on the right is our children's minister. That's called Crazy Hair Day. We do something fun every month for the kids. Now, also in our Bible school, without marketing or really trying, we've had 99 senior pastors, either who came and are now senior pastors or who already were. And so 99 Rhema Zambia graduates preached sermons this Sunday morning in Zambia in our pastoring churches. 99 churches. And so while our church is having an impact, the total membership and those congregations combined is 12,000 people. It's an incredible thing. And so these are some of those. I am not interested in pastoring 12,000 people, I can promise you. So I am so thankful for 99 other pastors who are getting the job done. Now, one of our present second-year students, Patrick Montabini, it just kind of showed up, enrolled in class, and he is the Speaker of Parliament of Zambia. All right, so think Nancy Pelosi if she was going to Bible school. Wouldn't that be, that'd be kind of cool, right? All right. Now I know there's a joke there. Okay. But Patrick Montabini, he's a Pilgrim Wesleyan Methodist guy, and he was kind of frustrated. He was going to another school, and there wasn't enough on the Holy Spirit. And so he saw our curriculum, and he came, and he's never left, and he sits on the front row and asks questions. An incredible, brilliant mind, a lawyer, and loves Jesus and is so smart. And it, the testimony, and because the kind of the power distance of leaders in the nation of Zambia is really huge as far as titles and how they're to be treated. And he came, he said, look, when I come to Bible school, I'm just Patrick. I'm not honorable. I'm not, that's what they, you call the people, you call them the honorable speaker of parliament. And sometimes that's a faith statement, right? Honorable. Okay. But he really is honorable. And so this is his second year, and he has been in class. My wife got a hold of 5 John Maxwell books, who is a former Wesleyan pastor, and they were autographed. And she realized, I don't need 5 of these. And she said, Lord, Holy Spirit, show me who to give these to. And when she found out that Patrick, you know, John Maxwell is his hero, you know, also a Wesleyan. So she gave him the book and said, look, it's autographed just for you. So they have been buddies ever since, my wife and Patrick. And so we have no idea how God is going to use that and use him to influence the nation and the region. But it's what a privilege and an honor. God's also used the school to raise up ministers who were on our staff, and then God has now released to do other things. This is Pastor William. He was with us for 15 years. When we got there, he was there kind of as an administrator guy. And the love and the compassion that he has for people is just mind-numbing as far as how merciful he is. And he went on a sabbatical, and we said, hey, just go pray. Rest for a couple months. And he came back and he was in tears because he is someone who would take not a bullet for us. He would take like a bazooka blast, literally for us. And he was weeping and he said, I feel like God wants me to take what I've learned at Miracle Life to other churches in Zambia and all over Africa because pastors are struggling. Pastors are broken. And that's what he's been doing for the last year and a half. So our church, like this church, we are also kingdom builders. So we support him, other members support him, and send him all over the region to do conferences and to help churches. And it's just an incredible, amazing thing. And another guy that's doing something similar, Ruben Cobway, who was a part of our church and that we got connected through our conferences, he's a Bible translator. And when he was in the nation of Tanzania, now he's kind of over their whole African division, but when he was in Tanzania, he helped oversee 15 different translations of the Bible that had never been translated into a mother tongue, and all 15 of those groups were Islamic people. And these are people that have never read or heard the Bible ever in their life in their mother tongue. It's never, think of that, 2,000 years since Jesus died, they've never heard the Bible. And so he changed that. Zambian guy, humble, beautiful young guy. Next guy, Nigel, was on our staff for many, many, many years. One, just a servant heart. And God sent he and his wife to South Africa, a very tough rural part of South Africa. And they started a Bible school just on their own and connected to a church there. And we are so amazed and proud. And it's kind of like when your kids leave home and you hold your breath a little bit, and then they find their feet, and we're so thankful. Now, this next one, we'll close with this guy, Sammy Ndlovu. Sammy is over all of our first impressions. So the parking lot, the greeters, the ushers, I would guess it's probably 300, 400 volunteers, something like that. And Sammy was one of seven kids. All six of his siblings died. His parents, both of his parents had passed away by the time he was 13. Now, in Zambia, typically, you'll go live with extended relatives, things like that. There is no safety welfare net in the nation other than extended family, but they didn't exist. So at 13 years old, he is literally living on his own. And so he began to buy and sell and to trade, and at about 15 years old, he realized, I can make a lot of money if I sell beer. And so he learned how to source and make sorghum beer. It's a local beer. And at age 17, he had trucks going all over Lusaka as a beer trader, as a complete orphan, completely on his own. Now, it's amazing that what he learned, he still has that business mindset. So now he does property. God's redeemed his life. He married a Christian lady, Edna, and they both began coming to our church. They graduated from Rhema together. I think they were the first married couple, right, that went through Rhema together. And they are in a mentoring group with my wife, and they grow and they grow and they grow. And Sammy had never lived in a family. And so he comes to my wife and I a lot to, how do I raise my two daughters? And because he doesn't have anything else on his hard drive, he just does what the Bible says. And it works. And it works wonderfully. One of his daughters is a worship leader. And Sammy and I were in a men's group together. And we memorized 1 Corinthians 13. Because we thought as husbands, that's kind of like what we're supposed to be doing, is loving. Like Christ loves the church. And here's this description of the agape love of God. Well, he memorized it, and he came back to the next session. He said, Pastor, you know what I realized? I don't love my wife this way. I memorized this, but I don't do this. And I think I need to do this. I need to love her in a way that she knows Jesus is loving her. So he started something with his wife, with Edna here. And that's his wife, who's totally been transformed by the power of God. He said, Pastor, for the next 30 days, I'm going to ask my wife, how do you want me to love you today? And by the end of the day, I'm going to do it. I know there's a lot of men here. Your side's just because you just got an elbow from your spouse. You know. And he had talked to me about, I don't know, my marriage is frustrating, this, that. So he did this 30, he made it up, 30-day love challenge. And about day 20, he had a brand new marriage. He had a brand new wife. He had a brand new family as he put the word of God into practice. And to see the transformation of where they came from, he's in another class with my wife, with leadership development. And this is just one story of what it means to build the kingdom. Because here's the thing, when we, as kingdom builders, the stones of the building, what Peter says, we are believers. We are living stones that the master builder is crafting. And so it's not about building buildings. It's not about building a school. It's about building the lives of people. And so as you are kind of coming to November and you're beginning to say, or you're thinking, God, how should I finish this year strong in my giving? Realize that through Kingdom Builders, it's people like Sammy. Without you, we wouldn't be in Zambia. We couldn't have been sustained there. The church now has its own budget. It's completely self-sufficient financially. But you make those kinds of things happen. Let's look at another scripture as we get ready to close today. One of the things that Paul told his son Timothy in the faith was, there's certain things you've got to get into people's hearts and lives. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them, tell your neighbor, that's you, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Now, how does our money affect our eternity? We don't buy salvation. That was a free gift purchased by our ransoming Savior, Jesus Christ. So how does our money make it to eternity? Well, because the only thing that leaves this life and goes to the next life are human souls, our people. But our money, our life, the kernel, the remaining time of our life can be used for a rich harvest of lives. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians 9. This is written to givers. This is written to people like at Victory. 2 Corinthians 9:10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things result from this ministry of giving. The needs of believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So when we give, yes, things happen on the earth. There are needs that are met, and the incredible ministries that happen through Victory, through Kingdom Builders. But there's something that's the big payoff, folks. It's something that... there's no other way to do this except to give your life and your money and your time and your treasure as a kernel to God, is that people on the earth, because of you, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for the grace that I received through these people and these lives, and they will thank God. Notice they don't thank you. They thank God. And so there's stuff that we do on this side of eternity that we don't see the results, but we have to trust that the Word of God is true and that people all over the world are thanking God because of your obedience. Isn't it amazing? Amazing. Bow your head with me. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the DNA that is so richly established here. And Father, I thank you that DNA will continue and it will grow for decades and decades to come in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that, Lord, as we reflect on, Lord, the talents, the abilities, the gifts that you've given us, because we're all gifted in this room. Father, the money that we manage and steward on your behalf, the amount of time that's left for our vapor life here on earth, Lord, may we put it in the soil of your kingdom. Lord, may we lay it down again until you call us home, until we breathe our last, and may our lives truly be meant for eternity. Father, I ask you to speak very specifically to Christians in this room what that means and what that looks like. Father, I pray that some in this room would not be able to go to sleep tonight because of what you're dealing with them to do. And Father, may we all say yes. Give us the grace to obey you. Give us the grace to follow you all the way to the end, fully and completely, to run our race in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we go any further in the service, I want to make certain that every person under the sound of my voice has had a choice to make and the ability to answer this simple question: what will you do with Jesus? Not religion, not church, not your thinking, your politics. You see, Jesus is called the unspeakable gift in Scripture because he literally did give his life for you and for me. God so loved us, the Scripture said, that he sent Christ to die in our place. He said, why did that have to happen? Because the sin of man had to be paid for. A crime demanded a punishment. But God's love and mercy abounded against his righteous judgment, and he said, I will come myself and robe myself in human flesh, born of a virgin, so that I can put the punishment that was due me and due you on myself. And Jesus said, that's why I'm giving my life. So when he hung on that cross, the sin of the world, the payment and penalty came to him instead of me. That's why Jesus said this very exclusive thing. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to my Father except through this door of me. Because he's the only one who paid your debt. But my hope is for you to understand today is that when you die, your sin must be paid for. You will either pay for it yourself for an eternity, or you will receive the payment of the Son of God who died in your place and on your behalf. So coming to Jesus is not some religious thing. It is truly acknowledging that there is a sin debt in your life that you cannot pay, and that God so loved you that he paid it for you, and then he offers you the freedom to either accept or reject the unspeakable gift, Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never received Christ into your life, or you're not certain, I want to pray for you, and I'll do it right where you're seated. You see, no church can make you right with God, no church membership, no church sacrament. I was baptized as a baby. I'm sure that was so wonderfully sacred for your family, but it didn't make you a Christian. I was confirmed. That's wonderful. It doesn't make you a Christian. Well, I've gone to confession. That's fantastic. It doesn't make you a Christian. Well, I go to Victory. No, it doesn't make you a Christian. There is no church or a sacrament of any church that can make you right with God. Only Jesus. And what you do with him will determine your eternal life. So today, you get to choose whether you receive or accept the unspeakable gift, Jesus. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you believe that he is the Son of God, and he died on that cross to bear the debt of your sin, then was buried and then conquered death and rose from the grave. It's not a dead religion, but a living Savior. And he offers you the freedom to choose or reject him. If you've never received Christ or you're not sure, I promise you right now something's happening to your heart. Jesus said it was this, that the very person of God himself, the Holy Spirit, would hover over your heart and draw you to the Father and say, come. The God of the universe is specifically focused on you right now. You are the passion of his heart. You are the reason that Christ died. He's obsessed with loving you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Christ or you're not sure, say, Pastor, I want to leave this place knowing I have eternal life, heaven bound, not hell bound. I want to receive Christ as the Savior and Lord of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I will pray for you right where you're seated. This includes those of you online. Say, please pray for me. I'm not going to single you out. We're going to pray with you right where you're seated. So you say, please include me in that prayer. Every head is bowed, every eyes closed. Would you just simply raise your hand right now so I can see it, and we're going to pray. Do it right now, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it, and Jesus, the Son of the living God, he's alive, will come, and your sin debt will be canceled. And you will leave this place as if sin never existed in your life because of the redemption of a Savior that loves you. What an amazing, amazing God. Pray this out loud where you hear it. We'll pray it with you. And your life is about to change for eternity. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. Now, where you hear it, say, Heavenly Father, I come to you by Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He was buried. And he rose from the dead. And he offers me eternal life. I turn from my life. I turn from my past. And I now turn to you. I give my life to you. Thank you. I receive you now as the Lord and Savior of my life. I will walk with you. I will live for you. And I will serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give them a hand, would you? What best decision of your life. Walker and Haley, thank you so, so much. Would you give them a hand and thank them for coming? Man, what a blessing. What an incredible couple. And really, you're just seeing the edges of what God is doing there. But as a kingdom builder, I want you to know what God's doing through your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.